Brian Driscoll, Sports Illustrated. Always a pleasure to have him on the show. Brian, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, I got to ask you again before we get going. How's the wife and how are you guys doing?
She's doing great. She's healthy. She's been back to work now for a couple months. She's she's actually outworking me now, so she's making me step up my game a little bit. So that's always good.
Yeah, no, good to hear. Good to hear. I got an email. This isn't the purpose of the call. I want to get into the team and all that with you, but I did get an interesting email. Ben in North Dakota emailed me yesterday, said, Bill, if leagues go to conference-only games, what's Notre Dame do?
You know, I think there's two things. Number one is I still believe there's six independent teams. You know, obviously Army, BYU, New Mexico State, teams like that. UConn, sure. I think, is now. So six or seven independent teams, they could schedule those.
Right.
But I still think Jack Swarbrick has a lot of clout with the ACC when it comes to – they've got a very long contract with the ACC that's been very good for the ACC so far, having Notre Dame in there. I think what they would do is they'd work out some kind of schedule where – Notre Dame either maintains their ACC schedule or they become an ACC member for a year and say, hey, look, we're going to be part of this round-robin schedule you're going to have, and, you know, we're going to play you guys. Now, whether or not that would include them being able to play in the championship game if they win their division or if it's just that they have an ACC schedule and the games count for ACC teams as a league game, I don't know how that would work out. But I think between the ACC, between Navy, and between the rest of the independents, Notre Dame would be able to put together a schedule. It may not be a sexy schedule, but they put one together.
Yeah, it may not include Southern Cal and Wisconsin, right. But it still looks good.
Right, right.
Now, you bring up a good point. There's a lot of power there with Notre Dame and Jack Swarbrick and their relationship with the ACC. They're not going to be left, you know, with six games or five games
right.
or whatever. That ain't
right.
happening. I was going to ask you about the quarterback here at the Elite 11, Tyler Buchner. And I don't know if the videos that I was watching, I didn't get by the way, so I didn't see it live, where his arm slot release looked funky. Was that something he was working on, or is that an issue?
That's something new. And look, for me, I'm not someone who really cares much about throwing motion when it comes to the arm release. I care, is it effective? Are you able to snap the ball off? Is it accurate? Are you able to get power in the ball?
Right.
But when it is a problem and it causes issues and inaccuracy, then it needs to be corrected. And for whatever reason, he has a new quarterback's coach who's no longer his quarterback's coach, by the way, who was working to change that. And it looked weird. It looked uncomfortable. It didn't look natural. The ball wasn't jumping out of his hand. It was arcing a little bit because it was causing his elbow to dip, which was causing his hand to come back further, which was really messing up his release point. And it was the weirdest thing. I've never seen a quarterback that was that good mess with his arm slot that way. And I just think it's the problem for me, Bill, is the market's just oversaturated with quote-unquote quarterback gurus.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't just teach basic quarterback stuff. Otherwise, people are going to pay for you. And, you know, it looks like that may have what happened to Tyler Buchner. But I hope that that's going to get corrected soon because he did not look like the five-star kid that I saw on film at all.
Yeah, I was reading about that. And, again, I didn't want to jump to conclusions because I didn't know if they were working on various arm slot throws, which people do, we know. But no, but my first inclination was, what has he done with his mechanics?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, I had the same thought. When I first heard reports about how his arm slot was weird, I assumed it was, you know, just typical people that don't know how to evaluate quarterback play. You know, because,
right.
you know, everybody like, well, this is how a quarterback should look, and but then I saw the video and I was like, whoa, that's not Tyler Buchner, and that is not good. And that is causing issues with how he throws the ball, and hopefully it gets fixed soon. Because the problem is, Bill, is if he continues this for too long, then that new motion will eventually become what his muscle memory is trained on. And then that's harder to break. So it needs to be something that gets addressed soon if it's going to get worked out of a system and he's going to go back to a more natural motion. The good news is it looked awkward and it looked like he was awkward with it. So it's not something that he's now convinced his body that this is natural again.
What did you think about the Elite 11? And again, it was here. basically prepackaging the outcome. 75% was already determined, 25% in your two-day workouts. That was a bit strange. That's not the way that has always gone, correct?
Correct. And first of all, I have an issue with the Elite 11 being 20 people. You know, I mean, it's an Elite 11, so let's have 11 people.
Yeah.
But it's like the Big 12 with 10 teams, Big 10 with 14 teams. It's like no wonder kids are struggling academically because we've given them these weird numbers. But, you know, to me, an event should be about the event. Right. I mean, it shouldn't matter what you were as a junior in high school. I mean, it's who was the best guy at this event. That's what it should be about. Who performed the best? It's like, you remember, Bill, you remember this. Remember those quarterback deals they used to have in the NFL before the Pro Bowl? You know, those quarterback competitions. It should be something like that. Like, who was the best guy at this event? And that's what it should be about. And I don't understand why people tend to make things that should be easy, complicated and unnecessary.
How's recruiting going so far for them, class of 21?
Not good. I mean, you know, when we talked a couple times ago, you know, recruiting was rolling. They had the number that they're actually as high as number one according to one of the services. But since Chip Long left, or since Chip Long was fired, Notre Dame has landed two commitments. That's it, and those were from a couple three-star offensive linemen. Although the latest three-star offensive lineman's a kid that I really like, but. You know, they've lost Deion Colsey, who was a top 100 wide receiver. They lost Will Shipley, obviously, who they thought they were going to get. And then they went all in on Will Shipley. And when they lost him, it kind of – running back recruiting just hasn't – just there was no one else to turn to at that point. So they're scrambling there. Defensive recruiting has been okay, but it's been a little weird. You know, and they're just in a situation where if there's four or five guys, if they don't bat 1,000 with those four or five guys – not only is this class not going to be top five like Brian Kelly said it was going to be, or they should be, it may not be top 15. And it's look, they're going to say, well, look, you know, we can't get kids on campus, and getting kids on campus is so much about what Notre Dame is about, and that's what the spin is. But to me, that's an excuse because you're 33-6 the last 3 years. You're a team that's been in the playoffs 2 years ago. You're a team that's won 10 games each of the last 3 years. You've got tradition. You've got guys on the NFL. All these different things. If you can't sell your program because kids can't be on campus, then you're not doing this whole recruiting thing right. And that's been a frustration because it's not stopping Ohio State. It's not stopping Georgia. You know, and they're not just getting local kids either. You know, Ohio State's got a five-star running back from Virginia who's never visited. You know, they got a commitment from top 100 cornerback from Arizona who's never visited. So other top programs are still recruiting well. You know, Notre Dame's not, which tells me it's a bigger problem than just they can't get kids on campus.
Is it Brian Kelly, or what's the reason?
Brian Kelly's never been a good recruiter, Bill. I mean, look, they've never recruited well because of Brian Kelly. And, you know, the reality is not that long ago, Notre Dame was 4-8, and you and I were talking about whether or not Brian Kelly should stay. And what he did at the time was, he made some strong hires. He hired Clark Lee. He hired Mike Elko. He hired Chip Long. He hired Matt Bayless to run the strength program. And Mike Elko was an absolute dog on the recruiting trail. Chip Long was an absolute dog on the recruiting trail. And those guys helped turn things around. Well, Mike Elko's gone. Now Chip Long is gone. And the guys they replaced him with, Harry Heastand's now gone. You know, he was a great offensive line recruiter. Those guys are now gone. And they have not replaced them with strong recruiters. The only strong recruiter they've added in the last couple of years is Mike Mickens, who, by the way, just shows, you know, he's got two commitments from kids who couldn't visit during the pandemic, and they're good football players because he's putting in the work. So I just don't think they're a strong recruiting staff. And the reality is Tommy Reese at 27 years old, first-time coordinator, is just not a guy that's going to have the clout to be able to go toe-to-toe with these other top programs. And I think they should have hired Joe Moorhead. I've said this at the time. I've said this since. And since Joe Moorhead got hired at Oregon, they've got commitments from 8 four-star offensive players. Notre Dame has gotten 2 three-stars. You know, so chew on that for a little bit.
Brian Driscoll with us. Sports Illustrated covers Notre Dame. Just looking at the team, the O-line ought to be a strength, correct, with everybody back?
Absolutely. It should be one of the best offensive lines in the country.
Tackle to tackle, lots of size, lots of experience. Who's the best prospect in that group?
Looking at the NFL, to me, the best prospect is Liam Eikenberg. You know, I think he's got that combination of size. He's big. He's a good athlete. And he's got a strong all-around game. You know, Tommy Kramer should be more of a good run blocker. Robert Haynes, a really good pass blocker. Never going to be the dominant run blocker that a guy like Eikenberg can be. He just has to put it all together and be consistent with it. You know, last year he was a good run blocker, great pass blocker. He hasn't given up a sack since the Stanford game in 2018, which is a stretch of 20 games and a stretch of well over 700 pass snaps. So, you know, he's just that guy that is a really steady player. But if he wants to be a first-round pick now in 2020, he needs to be more consistently dominant. That's kind of that next step for him. And he's going into his third year as a starter, which for Notre Dame in the last decade has been kind of that money year for offensive linemen where they make that big leap and become elite players.
Brian, always good to have you here, sir.
Thanks for having me on, Bill. You guys take care.